Well, I think God's really talking to us since Gil's been teaching out of Galatians. And I hope you all read Nick McElveen's article yesterday in here because it was a really good one on indwelling sin. So if you haven't read it, make sure that you do read it. Well, we're continuing in the book, The Enemy Within. And the subtitle of that is Straight Talk About the Power and Defeat of Sin. So that's what the whole book is about, is our indwelling sin. And just for a quick review here, part one was the first four chapters. That was the power of sin and what it is. And we're now about two or three chapters into the second part, which is the power of sin and how it works. So chapter five was called The Tricks of the Trade. Think of that. It's a trick. That's our heart. That's our indwelling nature. So trick is a cunning or skillful act or scheme intended to deceive or outwit someone. Intended to deceive and outwit each one of us. The author says the art of deception is to make someone believe that things are other than they are so that he will do something he would never otherwise do. This is the way your flesh makes you into the willing servant of sin. And then the chapter from 2 weeks ago was called Getting Carried Away. And I just need to find that page. The author says, remember that the mind is the watchman of the soul, commanded to judge and determine whether something is good and pleasing to God, so the affections can long for it and the will can choose it. If the mind fails to identify a sin as evil, wicked, vile, and bitter, the affections will not be safe from clinging to it, nor will the will from giving consent. The first line of defense is to keep in mind that every sin is forsaking God, to never forget the polluting, corrupting, defiling power of sin, to be shaken to the core by how much God loathes. And in order to walk before God, our first duty is to know and to hold on to the evil of sin and the love of God. So that's what we're really studying tonight, is the mind. And this chapter is called the idle mind, or no idle mind. So God does not want us to have an idle mind. Romans 8, 11 through 13. And I want you to know, when I'm talking tonight, I'm probably talking as much to myself as I am to anybody else in this room. Because this chapter, I understand why I was supposed to teach it. I fail in these areas. So I'm just really talking to myself out loud. Romans 8, 11 through 13. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So we're not alone in this battle against sin, because we are weak and our strength is in the Holy Spirit and God. He's given us these tools for this battle, because it is a battle, and we have to remember that. It will be a continual battle for as long as we're walking this earth. Our hearts are deceitful, and we have to be ready for that battle. We have to be ready. So God gave us these tools to fight with the strength of the Holy Spirit, and we have to know how to use the tools of meditation and private prayer. So what meditation and prayer does is it compares our hearts to Scripture, compares our lives to what God speaks in his word, and to ponder the truth we see in Jesus, and to grow, see us grow more like Christ, or more in Christ-likeness. So we have God's power tools. So what is a power tool? Well, a tool equips us to battle against our own flesh. And it's God's power, not our power. So we need to remember it's God giving us this power. So the first one he talked about, and this is all on meditating and meditating in prayer. Meditate on God with God. So how do we do that? Well, we have to fill our minds with thoughts of God. And one of the first ways we can do that is with his attributes. Now, we do know some of his attributes. We know the ones that he's told us, that he's revealed to us. So think of how faithful he is, how loving he is, certainly his grace and mercy towards us, how majestic and awesome he is. He's sovereign, he's holy, he's patient. You know, we could go on and on about God's attributes. And if we're going to talk to God, why don't we just talk to him out loud? Because I think that, for me, it helps make the concentration a little bit better. We also have to be humble. And we have to really make it, if we're going to meditate on God, we really have to make it a practice of worship. And just think of it as worship. Speak of admiration to him, delight, glorify him, for sure give him thanks. And it's not just about reading words. Boy, it is so easy for me just to read the words and then I stop and I go, what did I just read? Because I've lacked that concentration on reading what he wants me to hear. So by reading and really concentrating on it, we have a way of growing and fighting the battle of the flesh. Psalm 8:1 says, O Lord, my Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So psalms are a really good way to provide that inspiration for worship, admiration and love for our Heavenly Father, and to really get into meditating on his word. The second thing the author said is meditate on the word in the word. So it means study God's written word to know the living word. So it's written, but it's living. The Bible reminds us that indwelling sin remains. It's active, it's hostile to the pursuit of godliness. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So it's living and active, and it judges our hearts and our attitudes of our heart. So when we're studying and meditating on God's word, we have to pray for the help. And who do we have? We have that Holy Spirit. And we can call on the Holy Spirit. If we're lacking that concentration, he will help us with that. He helps us understand. He discerns for us. He's there. He's our helper. He's given us that Holy Spirit to help us to be enlightened through his written word. But we really have to call on the Holy Spirit. And we have to do it with sincerity. Romans 8:26 and 27, the Spirit helps our weaknesses. Because we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit intercedes for us. That's one of the things when I'm praying. Sometimes my mind just goes someplace else. Or sometimes I don't know what to pray for, I don't know how to pray for. And it's really helpful to call on the Holy Spirit for that. Say, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to pray this. Or I don't know what to pray for right now. So help me, I need your help. And it can be just that simple. We really should want to know God better and to love him more. And our focus should be on the will of God and how we're to live in him. And really, that's what delights God. That's what he wants us to do, is to grow more and more to know him and to love him and to worship him. The third thing the author said about the power tools is meditate on yourself in the word and with God. And the author says it really good on page 72 and 73. So I'm going to go there. Meditate on yourself in the Word and with God. The power of this meditation and prayer lies in its ability to expose the secret workings of sin. So think about that. It's secret. It's the secret workings of sins. What advantages the flesh has gotten over you. What temptations it has used with success. What harm it has already caused. And what harm it plans. And that one really stuck out to me. What harm it plans. It's like there's plans for more. This prayer and meditation calls on the Spirit to use his word to shine light into the cracks and crevices of your soul to show you every real need and danger there. And without these, prayer is not prayer. Without these purposes and longings, your prayers and meditations won't bring any glory to God, and they won't make you holy or fill you with joy. But with these prayer and meditation, sound the depths of your soul, dredge up the schemes and plots of the law of sin. Get that, schemes and plots of sin. Drag them into the light of God's presence, and in his light, every imagination of the flesh is judged, condemned, abhorred, and mourned. Those are really powerful words, and it really should hit us about what the indwelling sin is. So we can't just have a mere knowledge of Scripture. That's not going to be sufficient to fight the flesh. We really have to be prepared to protect ourselves against the deceit of our hearts. And remind ourselves of the sinfulness of sin. The sinfulness of sin. And that comes from Scripture. And the grace of God, that comes from Scripture. Each day we need to use the power tools he's given us with the help of the Holy Spirit. Because he is the helper that the Father gave us. So ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes and to penetrate our hearts. But that flesh is going to badger us. Well, he used badger as an animal. Well, badger is also a verb, which means annoy, provoke, hound, tease, needle, bait. But the badger is also a member of the weasel family. But if you use weasel as a verb, that means missing the truth and being deceitful. So we need to remember that the flesh, as part of that battle, will keep baiting us, and it will be deceitful. And the flesh is going to keep fighting back and resisting being with God, whether in his word or in prayer to him. So the flesh doesn't want us to adore God. Think about that. There's a part of us that doesn't want us to adore God or to get to know him. So we have to realize what a fight that is. The flesh is going to find ways to hinder us from being in and meditating on God's word or in private prayer with him. So what do we need to think about? Well, we need to really understand what our own weakness is, because it's probably going to be individual for each of us in this room, because we're different. So think about, this is one of the things that Jesus said. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane because he went there to pray, and it's just before he's going to be seized and crucified. And he had his disciples with him, and he was going to go off and pray by himself and talk to the Father. And he told them to pray. But when he came back, they were asleep. And he said, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he wasn't saying that just for that moment. He was saying that for as long as they were going to be on that earth. And he's saying it to us. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. So our flesh, our sinful nature, is going to aim at whatever our weakness is. And he knows where to strike. It takes time and commitment. It's going to take time and commitment to meditate and be in prayer. And, you know, for each of us, probably individuals, what is the best time of day and the best place to do that? But we need to become aware of that. For me, it's early in the morning because it's quiet. I'm up. As I've walked around a little bit, I wake up, and it's just a better time for me. I have a place where I can go shut the door. Or if I'm out walking by myself, I can talk out loud. And I've done that before, and it really does help to be able to do that. So we have to just know what is best for us. So just, if you don't know, think about that. And what the author said is, don't hit the snooze button. He was using that as somebody who does not want to get up in the morning, just keeps hitting the snooze button. Well, that's just us. Don't keep hitting that snooze button. Don't keep putting it off, because we need to do that. He also talked about busy obstacles. So the flesh is going to put those obstacles in our way. And, you know, some of these are things we do. We have this is a variety group that we do a lot of things. We do have activities. We do have ways to serve. We have families. Some have work. There's a lot of things that we do. But the flesh will put those in our way from being in meditation and prayer. So we have to really focus on that. The flesh is going to take advantage of our busyness if we don't be careful about that. And it will keep us from being near to God. So, while we have all these obligations and things that we do, they are not to be excuses for no time for meditation of his word and prayer. So I think about me. Okay, so, I have home Bible study at my house this week, so that means I need to clean my house and get food ready, so I don't have time to be in God's word. No. I can still get those things done because I have to set that time aside for God. That has to be the priority. So we can't let those obligations, because there are things that we do have to do. And we can't duty swap. He talks about that duty swap. I thought that was an interesting way of putting that. So I go to church. I go to church on Sunday mornings and Sunday evening. I even go to Bible study on Sunday morning. Oh, and I go to Bible study on Monday night and on Tuesday morning. So, wow, that should be enough, shouldn't it? No, we still need that private time for meditating with God and his word. So, again, we still need that. It's, you know, as more as I studied this chapter, I realized how important that was. And then not giving priority to time with God, putting some of these are the same thing, putting other things ahead of time with God. So we can't do that. So the author says, when the mind surrenders its watch over the soul by neglecting duties, the affections and will are sure to follow. So it needs to become a daily commitment to guard against the wiles of the flesh. 2 Timothy 1:7 said, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. And 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be on your guard, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong. So we're going to have to assume a daily opposition of the flesh as we continue to devote ourselves to the growth of godliness. Because we're not going to experience that lessening of the battle, the fight will probably get stronger. And that's why we're commanded to watch ourselves. And we just need to be aware. So think about reflecting on your habits. And while you're at it, just go ahead and turn to Psalm 119. We're not going to do all Psalm 119 tonight, but, you know. Psalm 119:11 says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you." So we have to store up his word in our hearts. I'm going to turn to Psalm 119, too, because there were some things I wanted to point out. So while you're doing that, I'm going to do that. So we need to store up his word in our hearts so when we're tempted, we can pull them out and be strengthened by them. And let them be talking to it in your head. So do you ever talk to yourself in your head? Or talk to somebody else in your head? I do that. But it's better to have scripture talking to you in your head, God talking to your head. So that's why it's helpful to memorize scripture. Now, I can't say I'm really good at that. I've tried it. You know what? And I did a pretty good job of it, and then I quit doing it. That was the flesh. But I think it's even helpful, even if you can't memorize a whole verse, if you can get the gist of the verse and get those phrases in your head that you can call on, that is helpful. So being in his word and memorizing, it helps us fight the flesh of the temptation. So anyway, I had to turn to Psalm 119 because it says meditations and prayers relating to the law of God. So when I was looking at this, I started counting the word meditate or meditation. I counted it at least 8 times. Teach me showed up 9 times. And then there was other ones that showed up frequently that I didn't count. Revive me, seek, delight, understanding. Your word, your commandments, your precepts, your statutes also showed up very often. So meditate, that means really think and deliberate on his word, to strive for a careful study of scripture. And that's daily, so we can help weaken that flesh and experience God's transforming grace. So we profit from meditating on his word because it convicts us of our sin. Scripture brings it home to how we have offended God, because God tells us very clearly in scripture. So when I think about Psalm 119, I look at those groups there and I go, wow, you could take a couple verses or one verse, Rita, or you could take a whole section and really focus on that and learn what God is saying and let it work on my heart. Because we need to sorrow over our sin. We really need to do that and humbly confess it. It really helps to humbly confess that to God. Even though we know our slate's been wiped clean, we know it just renews the heart to do that. We're supposed to have just as deep a hatred of sin as God does. And the more our hearts are right with him, the more we'll conform to his will. So we have to seek his wisdom. And then we combine that with our private prayer. And that's really important for fighting the power of the indwelling sin. It's how we draw near to God, because we can talk to him. And that's being in his presence then. I think about that sometimes. There goes my mind again. I'm praying. I'm thinking, wow, I'm praying to God. So is all these other people, and God's handling all of that. Of course, then I have to get the Holy Spirit to bring me back to where I'm supposed to be. But that always kind of amazes me. And it is a command, because it's essential for us to commune with God daily. Jesus said in Matthew 6:6, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father sees what is done in secret and will reward you. So we are commanded to pray. So the best place, the best time of day for you will be different than it would be for me or for Sally or anybody else. I find it helpful to begin with praise and thanksgiving. There's many things to be thankful for. And ask the Holy Spirit for help, because he is our direct enablement. We do it with humility, devotion, and honor, and be in complete submission to God. And when you get distracted, just come right back to it. And when you're coming right back to it, it's the Holy Spirit bringing you back to it. That encourages a greater faith. So think about it. What hinders you and distracts you from meditating on his word and your prayer time? Think about it. And if you don't want to say it out loud, think it to yourself, but just think about that. What hinders you and distracts you? Everything, Chris said, everything.
My mind is like a rabbit trail.
Yeah. Doesn't take much, does it?
No.
I also think, too, not planning that time. And maybe it's that sin that's already there that is hindering me, too. So, yeah, I agree with you, Chris. It's everything can distract. Were you going to say something else?
Well, it's not like everything else. If we are trying to spend time, we've said this many times in here, if we're trying to spend time with the Lord, the devil will up his distractions.
Mm-hmm.
It won't take much to distract us because he does not want that. If we're reading a book, we'll concentrate more on the book if it doesn't have any spiritual value.
Right.
Then we will the Bible because he just doesn't want this living and active word of God to penetrate and work with our hearts. So if we know that, going in, not just saying, why can't I concentrate? Because there's something God wants me to learn here.
Yeah, right.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, good point. Thank
mind.
You. So, there was another section to this about your mind. Loving God with all your mind. So, it's an excursion. We're going to look at the mind a little bit more here. So, how do we show our love for God? Well, Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says, but I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. So, we really need to guard our minds. It's really essential to obedience. Our mind, just to go back and review. I'm going to go back and review this, because it helped me to go back and look at this. What he said earlier in the book, the mind is your thoughts, your plans, your judgments, and your discernments. That's your mind. Your will is your choices and your actions, because he's going to talk about those a little bit. Your affections are your longings, desire, revulsions, imagination, and feelings. And then your conscience is all of those, and it's your sense of right or wrong. So your conscience approves or condemns your mind, your will, and affections. So just to go back and review that, what the mind actually is, your thoughts, your plans, your judgments, your discernments. So we guard our minds by making God's word our priority and praying, meditating and praying on it. So we have to be on our guard. And this comes from the book Profiting from the Word by A.W. Pink. He said, God has given his word not only with the design of instructing us, but for the purpose of directing us to make known what he requires us to do. And the first thing we need is a clear and distinct knowledge of our duty. And the first thing God commands of us is a conscientious practice of it, corresponding to our knowledge. So we have to be in constant care to not lose the life, power, and sense and impression of God's word. He also said the mind includes the conscience. So there you are, the conscience, your sense of right and wrong. And if the conscience isn't pricked and stirred at the sight of sin, it can't help us. And if the mind is dull and led astray, the conscience will be sluggish, bored, or bribed or corrupted. So what is godly obedience? The author said, to please God with obedience, it isn't enough to merely do what he says. The way we do it has to be with God's rules. The great duty of the mind is to do the rule of duties. Growing in obedience is not just piling up duties. They need to be done according to his rule. So we are to know his rule and apply it to all we do before God. Think deeply about what pleases him. So I got really kind of hung up on this word duty, because I thought, I don't remember duty in the Bible. Well, then I looked at Pink, and he used the word duty, and now this author's using the word duty. So I looked at the word duty, and it's do as you commanded, it's responsibility and moral obligation. And then there actually is at least a couple, two, three verses on duty. Wow, I missed that one. Luke 17:10. This is the NIV version. Jesus to his disciples said, when you have done everything you were to do, should we say we are unworthy servants, we have only done our duty. Let me say that again. He's talking to the disciples. When you've done everything you were to do, you should say we are unworthy servants, we have only done our duty. You've only done what you were supposed to do. The New American Standard says we have only done that which we ought to have done. So, a duty is doing what you're supposed to do. Well, we need to think about that one, and we'll come back to that one in a little while. So, godly obedience, because we're going to be talking about throughout this whole thing. Obey fully. How do we know what pleases God? Well, we study his word. We keep it in our hearts. We have to feed on His word. We are to be doers of our word. We are to assimilate His word into our daily lives. And it's to conform our heart and life to God's word. And we need to have a clear and distinct knowledge of our duty. And then God demands a conscientious practice of it according to our knowledge. So we obey by faith. So every duty is done in faith. It's not just doing it, we do it by faith. The gospel should be front and center of our faith in Christ, and our strength comes from Him. As it says in Galatians 2:20, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. So He is our strength. So our obedience comes from through faith in Christ. And as we grow in righteousness, we are to reflect more and more of Him in our lives. We are to obey from the heart. And this is going to be more in the next chapter, so I'm just touching on this. The heart is all of our being. So the heart is our mind, our will, our affections, our conscience. And we can do what God wants us to do, be obedient to Him, but without the affections involved, the desire to please Him is not acceptable. So if there's no joy in doing what God wants you to do, no happiness in it, there's no love in it, it's just doing the duty. And God, that's not pleasing to God. We have to obey God's way. So our minds must ensure we do everything the way and by the means God's commanded. So partial obedience is really no obedience at all. So we have to not do what God forbids. And we need to do all that He requires. And we can't pick and choose that. I like the example that the author gave on we have to worship the way God tells us to worship. So how does He tell us to worship? In spirit and truth. And He's told us that. And we've heard that over and over again. We're just worshiping spirit and truth. We can't make up our own way of doing that. So I can't make up my own way of doing it, of building a shrine to Him and getting down on my knees and going like this to Him. That's not worshiping God. I could say I'm worshiping God, but that wouldn't be. So I can't make up my own way of doing it. We are to worship in spirit and truth. The truth of His word, the spirit He's given us. It's all of us worshiping Him. We are to obey God for God's goals. So 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So we have to be on the alert because our flesh may have a different purpose for doing it, like to make us look good or to make us look like we're doing what God wants us to do. So we have to do our duties to God because for His purpose and His goals, and that is to glorify Him in all that we do. And that is specific. But we need to watch out because the flesh is going to keep fighting this. It will not resist. So what He says is don't get so specific about this. We really have to be on our guard because what He's going to try to do is persuade us to be content and happy with just doing it in a general way. And that's not glorifying God. We really have to be specific about it. So we can't take our focus off of God, what brings Him glory. We have to do it in all He wants us to do. Our actions need to be specific. We need to be in His word and in His truth and exercise it in faith. So being specific is we're doing it because God wants us to do it for His purpose. We do it by faith and in love for Him. So, but our flesh doesn't want us to do that. Our flesh says, well, just be content with duty. Okay, here we go again. So I ought to pray. So I pray. I'm just doing it because God tells me to do it, but I'm not doing it for any other reason. But the flesh says that's good enough to do it. We have to do it to please God with our heart and with joy and enablement of Holy Spirit. And for an example, so we're singing hymns and songs in church, and I'm just singing the words. And all of a sudden, I realize I'm just singing the words. Well, that's the Holy Spirit talking to me. Rita, you're just singing the words, and you're not paying attention to what these words are. But it could look like I'm really into it, but God knows I'm not. But that's the way the flesh wants me to do it. But the Holy Spirit is saying, no, you need to start focusing on what these words are. And when I start focusing on what the words say, then I'm worshiping God and giving praise to glory in Him, and I'm getting the meaning. So that the flesh will interfere in that way. The flesh, that he is so mean. And we can get into a routine. Just going through the motions. So we have to really examine ourselves. Are we just going through the motions? Are you truly engaged in worshiping in your prayer life, at church, when you're praying? Are you really engaged in that? Or is it just something to check off the list? So we really have to work at that and look at that. But we can weaken the flesh. We need to remember how God is sovereign. He does as he pleases and only as he pleases. And he is absolute. He is infinite. He is our creator, our savior. He's our everything. And he's holy and our righteous God. He is our lawgiver. He is sovereign. He forbids sin, and sin is evil. And when we sin, it's our rebellion against our sovereign God. And when we're aware of our sin, it's the Holy Spirit prodding our heart. And that's in the light of God's word. And then we really need to think about the punishment of sin. God does discipline us. Think about the punishment that Christ took for you. And that was a punishment for me, was my sins, that I should have taken that punishment. I should still take that punishment, but he took it. So every sin deserves punishment. Even if he pardons us, it still deserves punishment. And we have to be aware of that. Well, think of God's love and kindness. That's a really good one to think about. 1 John 3:1-3 says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is." So we will see him. We will be with him. "And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure." So think about that. You're a child of God. He's your father. He's your father. So if he's your father, he loves you and he wants to take care of you. So think about the privileges, the blessings, the fruit of the Spirit, and be thankful for those. And think about that individually. How has God particularly shown love to you? His mercy for my sins, for sure. How has he kept you from temptation? How has he provided for you? How has he protected you? If you really focus on those things, it really should bring it to your heart that God is your Father, and that should weaken the flesh. We want to worship God and devote our lives to him and not provoke him. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, "Let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." And then think about the blood and mediation of Christ. And I'm going to go to the book for this one, 2 Corinthians 5:14-15, because he had it. If you want to go there, it's on page 88. And if somebody has it, they want to read it from either your Bible or the book. Do you have it, Sally? And then go right ahead.
For God's love compels us, because we are all convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And that word compels is one that Gil emphasized yesterday.
Yes, compels. So really ponder that one and really think about that one, that what he did for you, for each of us individually. And then when you think about that, he did it for the whole world, how much that was, what a sacrifice that was. Again, I say, that was my punishment that he took. But it's really important to ponder that is love. That is true self-sacrificing love. And that means my life is not mine, but it is his. And then think about the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit. As Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is our helper, our prompter, our encourager, our teacher. And without the Holy Spirit, we would never have become a child of God. So I want us to really reflect on being aware of becoming spiritually lazy, which I can do. And when we're spiritually lazy, that means we're not stirred by warnings against sin. So really important to be in his word and to meditate on it. Watch and be on guard against that deceitful heart. And don't get discouraged and give up. Even if it feels difficult at first to really meditate on prayer or really talk to him or whatever you're studying, and you get distracted or you feel like you didn't do a very good job that day, don't give up. Don't get discouraged, because that's the flesh that wants us to be discouraged and to give up. Examine your heart with the help of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Helpful to go to Psalms. And think about what encourages you personally to meditate and pray scripture. Just think about that and really ponder that. And know your weaknesses and how your flesh distracts you away from God. So, I'm just going to end with Psalm 32:8 that says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. So that's one of his promises to us. He's going to instruct us and teach us. And that's in Psalm 119. So we need to have confidence in God. We need to show him his confidence by being with him in prayer. Prayer, going to him in prayer, is our evidence that we have faith in him, that he's going to listen and he's going to answer him. So we seek and we call up God in prayer and in meditation. And if we're willing to obey and do his will, he'll show us. And we don't have to be perfect for God to guide us, because we aren't perfect. We just have to be obedient, and he will guide us, and we have to persevere in that. That seemed like a lot to me when I was working on it. I don't know if it seemed like a lot to you, but it's really... our minds need to be focused, and this was really a lesson on our minds, how the Spirit can really get into our minds and work on our minds and take us away from what God wants us to do, which is focusing on him. And we focus on him by being here in his word, because that's where he tells us what not to do and what to do and what pleases him. And we should find this very precious to us. So... comments or your input or
I like the note, if there's no joy or no love in your obedience, God isn't pleased. Mm-hmm. And that's really a sign of a true believer, that if we are doing things that the Bible tells us to do, mm-hmm. and we've lost our joy in that, that's really a huge red flag, mm-hmm. that pleasing him is not our ultimate joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And an unbeliever can't find joy in that.
No.
So, you know, those are red flags. I also like the reminder that I've even taught over Matthew 6:6. You know, he tells you that you go into your inner room and pray, and he will reward you.
Yeah.
You know, those four words, mm-hmm. is that four? Anyway, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, the going in the inner room is for our benefit,
yeah.
to pray. But it's also, he puts on top of that, he will reward you. I'm going to try to look up and see what that exactly means.
Yeah, good.
It doesn't mean you're going to get your prayer request.
Yeah.
He loves it.
Yeah.
When we privately, he was just lambasting the Pharisees for doing it publicly,
mm-hmm.
or doing
yeah.
things for show.
Yeah.
It's just so anti-Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
that reward that he's going to give us just for simply seeking private meditation with him,
mm-hmm.
is kind of cool that he
yeah.
didn't have to throw that in.
Yeah. And the reward could be anything, as far as getting the joy from doing that, or really feeling his presence in doing that. So it could be a variety of things that the reward means. But yeah, if you look that up, let us know what you
yeah.
find
on
that.
I'm just going to do a little. I tried to do a little on my phone, and it didn't
okay.
work very well. So.
Okay. Anything else? Sally, would you close us in prayer, please?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you humbly and knowing that we have a long way to go. But we are guided by your Holy Spirit and by you and your word. And we thank you for that. We thank you that all of these ladies have taken time to come tonight, but that Rita has taken the time to study and measure each word that she has said and to explicitly present it to us so that we understand. We just pray, Father, for open minds, open hearts, even us who have been believers for ever, we still need to be in your word. We need to be especially in your word, but open to all of your teachings, and we have such great teaching here. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the beauty of the earth, the warm sunshine, the nice days that are promised this week, and we just praise your name for all of your mercies that you have given us, and especially the grace of salvation that you have given to us each freely in the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Be with us this week. Help us to ponder these words and keep them in our hearts and keep them on the front of our forehead so that we are always thinking about you, Lord. And we ask these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks, Sal.